Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers? The Home Depot has an idea. Let Mom's Green Thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens. Right now, get Vigoro Potting Soil just $8.97 for strong, healthy, vibrant plants, indoors and outside. Shop our wide selection online and pick up your order in-store and give Mom the gift of a beautiful garden. Get Vigoro Potting Soil just $8.97 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. See homedepot.com/delivery for details.
The path to retirement is different for everyone. And as life changes, so do priorities. Fidelity can help you get where you want to go. With a free personalized plan, goal tracking, and timely insights, you'll be set to take on retirement, whether you're saving for it or already living in it. Get started at fidelity.com/takeon. Expenses charged by your investments and other costs and fees associated with trading or transacting in your account apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services member NYSE SIPC.
Hello and welcome to this Golf Channel podcast presented by Top Golf. I'm Rex Hoggard, and it's my pleasure to be joined by editorial director Jay Coffin and colleague Ryan Labner, senior writer, insider, aficionado. Hello, Ryan. How are you?
Hello.
You doing all right?
Hello, Rex.
All right. We're looking ahead to 2019. It's our franchise, the Newsmakers. We always sit down at the end of the year and come up with our top 10 list of newsmakers. Now we're looking into our crystal ball and we're trying to figure out.
Always dangerous.
Always dangerous. Yeah. We're trying to figure out what the 2019 newsmakers are. I have a little list, but I'm just going to throw this one out there. This is totally a hunch. I may be completely off base, but Tiger Woods.
What do you think?
He's been the number one newsmaker for the last 27 years. I think it's probably a good idea to have him number one again.
But why?
Since he was 19. Because... no matter
what,
he's
going to win the career Grand Slam. That's why. He's going to win the Grand Slam.
The single season Grand Slam.
Could be.
Oh, man. Let's put that on a headline. Put that on a headline right now.
The real answer why is because no matter what he does, will warrant being number one. And that's just kind of the way it is.
Plays well, he's number one. Plays poorly, he's number one.
Correct.
Plays indifferently, he's still probably number
one. And we're probably going to get a little bit of both, right?
So what do you think? But that's my point. Is he going to play well? Is it going to be another season like we had this year? Or is it going to be something in the middle?
I think it's a luxury that we can even be talking about him and having expectations to win a major this year. I think it's a reasonable expectation to think that he can do the exact same thing he did in the majors in 2019 that he did in 2018. By that, I mean he can contend for two of them.
I can certainly see him winning a major in 2019. Absolutely.
Which one?
For a lot of different reasons. Well, the Masters, for a lot of reasons. One, it's the first on the list. Two, that place, more than anywhere else, suits a guy with institutional knowledge, and very few, if anybody, outside of Phil, I would say, have the type of institutional knowledge when it comes to Augusta National as Tiger Woods. And I just think his game is at a point. If you look at what he did really well coming down the stretch in 2019, it was that iron play, that long iron play.
Vintage. Right.
It was vintage, and we all know Augusta's a second-shot golf course. I mean, you can – now, granted, he's going to have a good putting week, not a great putting week. That's the difference in Tiger Woods, in my opinion, now, where he could win before with a decent putting week. Now I think he needs to roll some putts
above
in.
Above average.
Yes, he needs to be above average. But I don't see – I mean, we all know what he's done at Pebble before. I don't know if that's out of the realm of possibility.
Bethpage for the PGA.
And, I mean, Royal Port Rush for the Open Championship is going to be a bit of a toss-up. But, I mean, any of these places would suit his game. I can certainly see him winning a major and two or three other titles along the way, simply because given the right week, the difference this year compared to last year, in my opinion, will be he did the one-offs in the comeback. So he went to Tampa, the Valspar Championship. He kind of went out of his way during this comeback to make sure he was – back at full strength. He's going to go back and play his normal schedule.
Well, and that's where that's where the expectations are really going to be high, because in 2018 it was like, okay, if we get to Bay Hill, the Memorial, even the places where he's played very well, Bridgestone, right? There were expectations before he got his first win. This could be where he happens to play well, because now that he's got that first win, we know what he has in him. Now it's going to be, oh, well, these are places where he should win again. Doesn't mean he's going to win again, but now when he shows up at Bay Hill, who's not going to think that Tiger Woods is going to be top five at Bay Hill? The memorial, the places that were his playground for 20 years, now all of a sudden are his playground.
But the thing going back to his old schedule means he's playing the best fields every single time.
Yeah, that was kind of my point.
Valspar was a so-so field. Quick and Lone's, where he played well, was a very weak field. I mean, this is he's always going to be playing these courses well. But this is also the era of Dustin Johnson and Brooks Koepka and Rory. Those guys are going to play well in those big events too. It's just harder. It's going to be harder for him to compete and contend. I think he can do it.
Right. It's the deepest fields on the hardest golf courses that he has to face.
But also, now think about it, though. He's also now going to be in the WGCs. He's going to be in the match play. He has the chance to go to Mexico, smaller field. Like, he's also opened up a couple other events where you just don't know. And to your point there, Lav, is that's kind of one of the reasons why I wasn't sure he was going to win. Was as great as he played at the PGA, he still was not as good as Brooks Koepka. As great as he played at the Open, he still wasn't as good as some of those guys down the middle. And yeah, the Tour Championship only has a smaller field. I still didn't know for 4 days if he could be better than all of those other guys, that every one of those other guys would not have their best and that he was going to be better than them. I didn't know that. So him playing the best events on the best fields next year, he already proved that he can hang with them. So now why can't he beat them on a consistent basis
I think the PGA is a litmus test on this one. Yeah, look, he made it close. He made it entertaining. Yeah. I never had a doubt in my mind that Brooks was going to do whatever Brooks needed to do to win that title. As good as Tiger played coming down the stretch, and he played phenomenal.
And most importantly, Brooks didn't falter when Tiger was making the run.
However, you could say Rory very much faltered at the Tour Championship. He did not play well on Sunday at Eastlake, and I think he probably isn't going to admit it. But that has everything to do with, I'm going to lay the wood on Tiger early. He pressed it, nothing was there, and he ended up finishing bottom of the pack. I mean, let's face it. I think you're going to get one of those two things. But to Jay's point, yes. To think that one of these top players isn't going to find a way to have one of his best weeks when Tiger's having his best week, I still don't know if Tiger at his best is good enough to beat Brooks at his best or JT or Dustin. We can go down the list.
This is why, hear me out here. Is when it comes to majors, right?
30 seconds,
give me 45. When it comes to majors, and we want to try to project how many he can win or will win, what do we think? 3 or 4 more years of him being competitive?
Maybe.
So let's say 4, right? So we're talking about 16 majors. Half of those majors, he probably won't be playing his best. That's down to 8. Half of those, somebody else is going to be playing better. We're giving him 3 or 4 legitimate chances for the stars to be aligned.
And I think they're all in 2019.
I think you might be right.
If he doesn't,
or the Masters the next couple years.
If he doesn't win in 2019, I'm not sure he's going to get to 15. If he doesn't do it this year, if he doesn't do it at Augusta, if he doesn't do it at Pebble,
15.
If he doesn't do it,
15.
Getting to 15.
We were talking about 18 before. When you're worried about 15,
that was a joke.
Baby steps.
Yeah. I think if he doesn't win a major in 2019, I'm not sure he's going to win.
Yeah.
Because right now, I think we can say that the Tour Championship was the best he played all year long. He dialed back his shaft.
Yep.
He increased the loft on his driver.
He's playing the cut.
His driver was the difference
in
why he won that golf tournament 100%. As opposed to why he didn't win previously.
100%.
Now you give him 4 months at the end of 2018 moving into 2019 to get that even more dialed in. He can keep his iron play where it was. He puts a little bit more time in putting. He kind of went back and forth between different putters in 2018. He has time now to figure it out and be even better in 2019, but he still has the sense that there's a ticking clock and how much longer his body can do the wear and tear of a full tour season.
All right, well, we touched on this, and obviously Tiger's going to be on top of our list at the end of 2019, but the other one that seems fascinating to me, I can't think of a year when the 4 major venues bring so much expectations.
Yeah, collectively.
I mean, every year it's Augusta National. Yeah. Of course, they do what they do there. But Pebble Beach, there's so much history there in what that golf course.
Don't forget the second major of the year now is the PGA.
That's true. Bethpage, we'll get to that. Bethpage Black for the year's second major, the PGA Championship. And I do believe that the Open Championship might have the best major venue this year outside of Augusta.
So good.
I mean, rural Port Rush is a very special place. I think there's going to be some logistical concerns, but I can't think of another year that can compare to this as far as just quality of venues.
Yeah.
Side note, Rex Hoggard has some scar tissue at Royal Port Rush.
I did lose that match, didn't I?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
Let's share that with the audience.
Might have been a 4-3 drubbing.
It was over early. Yeah, that wasn't my best.
To me.
Oh.
Yeah.
But, of course.
But I digress. No, it's going to be all 4 right now. You know that no matter what happens at all 4 of those, it's going to be terrific. Because just the pictures, how beautiful they're going to be. The PGA, it's going to be terrific at Bethpage, but moving, makes it.
Bethpage is going to be good because of the crowds. Let's be honest.
It is, but it's also. But it's also now it's sort of different. It's this rebirth. It's going to be second. So now, it's going to be a big deal for whoever won the Masters to now come to the PGA and ask and answer all those questions.
And TPC Sawgrass is going to play like it should for the players.
Absolutely.
In March.
Absolutely.
East Lake is going to play differently in late August for the end of the FedEx Cup season.
And the schedule, yeah, I think the schedule is going to be a big part of that, and that's what you just touched on. I mean, the fact that the PGA is moving to May, that the Players' Championship is moving back to March, it's going to have such
a different flow
to the season. Yeah, I mean, I think guys are probably going to take a little bit of time to try to adjust to this, to try to figure out exactly what works best for them, because you have so many top events now condensed into such a small window. But, you know, you could pick apart all of the changes to the schedule, and there's tons and tons of them. But if you look at it, it's going to make the tour season better. You're not going head-to-head with football anymore. You're ending it at a time of year when there is relatively not a lot going on in the sports landscape. And you're also creating those 5 months of marquee events every single month. I think that's only going to be good for the game.
I think the Rocket Mortgage Classic is going to be diminished. Those type of events are going to be worse, but I think the big events are going to be better, which for the health of golf and getting all those great players together
five, six, seven, eight times a year,
I think that's better than having these C-level events be a little bit increased by having one or two stars mingled in there.
And players are going to have some hard decisions. You know, you're going from Riviera to Mexico to the Florida Swing, and everybody, you know, and there's just going to be some times where you mentioned, Rex, you can't play, you want to play four in a row, you absolutely cannot play four in a row because the fourth is going to be the Players.
There's no break.
People are going to, hometown events now aren't guaranteed for, Tiger's not guaranteed to play the Honda. It's just not, because if he's going to play Bay Hill the next week and Mexico the week before, or maybe he doesn't play Mexico but does play the Honda and Bay Hill, but if he does, the Players is going to be the third. Like, this is stuff that we sort of eat, sleep, drink, and breathe. Exactly, that we, it's sort of inside baseball, but if you're a casual golf fan and you're interested in this, just sit down and look at where Tiger's usually played and look at where they're all line up this next year and sort of multiply that with all the other bigger players, and there are going to be some hurt feelings out there when some big boys don't show up to some events. They've always showed up.
Well, what's going to happen is Tiger's not going to show up at Bay Hill or the Honda Classic or something
like that. People are going to be like,
what's happening here?
Yeah. And I can see him not playing, huh? Yeah. What did he play, 19 times this year? That was his second heaviest workload since 2005. He ain't playing 19 times in the 2018-19 season.
Not
he's
happening.
He's going to be closer to 15, which means he's got to cut out some tournaments somewhere.
Absolutely.
Well, and even towards the end of the season, you know, you go from the Open Championship to the WGC Memphis, and then the Wyndham will kind of be the off week now, and then you have three straight playoff events.
Unless you want to win that $3 million bonus for being the number one on the points list.
Sure. That's going to be high on a lot of guys' lists. But if you look at it, it's going to be 5 out of 6 weeks right there. And you can come up with these different scenarios where, all right, I'm going to have to play 7 out of 8 or 5 out of 6, and the modern player just doesn't want to do that.
Right.
Just wait till 2020 when the Olympics are thrown back in there.
That's not going to be good. And the other thing that I think is going to come up, and we've seen it already with Cam Champ, is...
Cam Champ is going to be a newsmaker in 2019.
Yes. Or someone from that rookie class is going to be a newsmaker, because I do think there's some talent coming out of that class.
Such as?
Well, Cam Champ's already won.
Yes.
I mean, if you go down the list, and once you've got a guy that's already on the list that early...
I mean, I can tell you're a big Sungjae Im fan.
He certainly was dominant on the web.com tour last year.
Yes, he was. But Cam Champ, in all seriousness, has the potential to be a game changer. I saw some ridiculous things on Twitter after Cam Champ won an opposite field event in Mississippi, saying this is the guy who's going to break Tiger's records.
Yeah, that's
ridiculous. Let's pump the brakes a little bit. Yeah. I followed this guy in college. He won one college tournament. He was hurt for a year and a half. He has a history of back issues. There's a reason why he was 6th on the money list. It's not like he won 10 times on the web.com and was absolutely dominant. There's still some holes in his game. Now, I do think PGA Tour is more conducive to his style of game. I think as Brooks Koepka and Dustin Johnson have shown, it's certainly a power hitter.
Can he elevate himself to that level, though, in 1 year?
No.
I'm not sure.
Not in 1 year.
I think that's why he's going to be so interesting to watch in 2019, because there is so much unknown about what he brings. I think his wedges have certainly gotten better over the last couple of years.
And he could do the Dustin Johnson thing. I mean, it took Dustin a couple of years to figure out how to dial the wedges in, and once he did, he got to world number one.
I mean, Cam Champ was first in driving, and I think he was second in putting.
Yeah.
At Sanderson Farms. He's going to win every single time if that is the combination.
Not the deepest field in the world, but yeah, I see what you're saying. He can get those two things to come together. And then I fully expect, and maybe this will just be us being prisoners of the moment, but us to be sitting here at this time next year talking about the Tour Championship. And X player should have won, but because he had a handicap index of Y, he ended up finishing tied for second. There's just no way around it. And what I think the Tour...
I think you've already written your column for...
I've already written
for late August 2019.
Yeah, just pencil in the name.
That's all you have to do. But I think what the Tour has done by going to this handicap index is they've kind of reversed where we've been at the Tour Championship the last few years. I think the way the FedEx Cup points worked out is you had your average fan that really couldn't wrap their mind around all the different scenarios and what was going on. If you were an avid fan, you probably got it. Mm-hmm. Whereas now with this handicap index, I think it's going to go the other way. I think the average fan's going to look at a leaderboard and go,
this is dumb. This is too simplistic.
No, the average fan's going to look at it and go, oh, Dustin Johnson's leading. They're not going to register in their mind, well, no, he started with a four-stroke advantage.
But the hardcore golf fan's going to be like, it's going to take
a hardcore golf fan's going to do the math in his head and go, yeah, DJ shouldn't be leading.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, as an example. So I do think it's going to end up being a story. And it's going to be a story for a couple of years until the Tour figures out how to work the kinks out of it. I don't think people ever get to the point that they're okay with this.
Yeah, right.
Well, the issue I've had with the FedEx Cup is the same issue I have with this new Tour Championship format, even though they've tried to go around it. The fact of the matter is you can win 10 times during this season, and if you go to the Tour Championship on the first hole, you have a birdie-bogey swing with your playing partner. All of a sudden, your entire lead is wiped out. Whatever good you've done to that point is negated after the very first hole of 72 holes. That still is not right. You're still not crowning the best player potentially of the season. You can do 250 points, you can do 2,000 points. Whatever the formula is, two strokes is not the answer, one versus two. It's just not. That can be negated in one hole. So to me, they still want to have the best player of the season win the FedEx Cup.
It's going to be the best player of the week.
It's whoever.
Not even really necessarily of the 3 weeks.
And potentially number 30 can play just lights out and get a ton of help, and number 30 can win.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Well, statistically, they figured out that it's no different now, statistically, for the number 30 guy at Eastlake to win the FedEx Cup as it was before. So however it is, they've crunched those numbers.
They're still hung up on crowning a season-long champion.
Playoffs was always the wrong way to. It should have never been called a playoff.
It should have been a shootout. It's a three-event shootout.
Finals, whatever you wanted to call it. Playoff was always.
Do not call it a season-long champion.
Just doesn't work in that concept. All right, one final look into the crystal ball from both of you. What event are you looking forward to the most? All right, you're thinking.
It's the Open. It's the Open at Royal Portrush because I've been there. And I know how awesome
it is.
You've
won there, as you've mentioned.
I have won there. I am currently 1-0 at Royal Portrush. So I eagerly await.
You've got more experience than Tiger.
I think it's going to be spectacular. I think how it's going to look on TV is going to blow people away. I think it's going to be absolutely terrific. And I think all the majors are going to be, but that one to me it's on my list.
Yeah, I think that's just going to be. It's going to be so fun to be there for a week and a half, like we always do, with a little boondoggle beforehand. The answer is certainly not the 2019 President's Cup. I think that is safe to say, even if Tiger is a playing captain.
Royal Melbourne might be the best course they play next year in any event, but sure. I would agree with you. It's not competitive.
No.
And it will not be a newsmaker.
Please.
It's a bad time of year.
For me, the event by default, although I said 2018, I thought the Ryder Cup was a bigger deal than the Masters, and I would stick with that for 2018. I do believe in 2019 the Masters is back to its 1A of being the best tournament.
So you're looking forward to the Masters the most or the Open?
The Masters.
Yeah, I can see that. Now, I'm going to go with Beth Page. I'm going to go with the PGA Championship, simply because those crowds...
That's an answer that no one else would choose, so congrats to you.
Well, those crowds can't be beat, and I just think that when you have an event that's being played in a new portion of the schedule, I think it's going to take on added importance where it is in the schedule, to be quite honest with you. And if you factor in the New York crowds, it's going to be fun.
Are the crowds going to be as boisterous when they're wearing ski caps and parkas?
Well, I don't have that crystal ball. I can't tell you what the weather's going to be like. I'm just telling you what
I can give you a pretty good idea what it's going to be like. It's going to be in the 50s and potential for rain.
Says the guy from New York?
Yes. Says the guy from New York.
And again, that'll probably be a newsmaker that we're now looking at PGAs in May, and is that a good idea? Maybe, see, you continue to look in your crystal ball. Good for you. All right, that'll do it for us. I'm Rex, Jake Coffin, Ryan Loudner. Thanks for checking out this GolfChannel.com podcast. For more, make sure to visit GolfChannel.com/podcast or subscribe via most podcast providers. See you next time.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.